boys are back here on a Sunday, getting close to Turkey Day. No high school football here, but yeah, we'll have a couple NFL games. And, you know, welcome to Steel and Naz, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast, located once again in Quincy Point at the Mass Music Radio headquarters. Tonight, you know, with the NBA free agency, you know, in full swing, the NBA draft was last week. We have Celtics insider Nick Fryer coming back on the show, you know, to discuss all the hoopla about, you know, Gordon Hayward, Kardashians are coming into Boston, and, you know, we're saying our farewells to Enes Kanter. Also, after the interview, the Patriots took on the Texans today. Didn't go well. We'll have our takes on that, along with week 11, I believe it is, of the NFL. Lastly, we'll have some talk on, you know, this ridiculous Mike Tyson fight. And, you know, Nate Robinson, former Celtic, when we were talking about the Celtics, but in the mix. Yeah, we'll have our takes on that. And, yeah, me and Steele will have our I'll have my bonehead of the week. Still have your salute. Let's get to it. You know, Celtics talk, I thought Nick was very insightful. And, you know, we didn't just talk about basketball. We're mixing a couple baseball because he's a former Northwestern baseball grad. So, yeah, we got in the mix of that. What did you think, guys?
Good, yeah. Son,
good as always.
Yeah.
Great analysis and some great Celtics talk. Jason Tatum for the next 5 years, baby.
Let's go.
Get your jerseys.
I also wanted to give a big shout out. It'll be Monday a year ago. Our buddy Kieran Hannon passed away. I just want to give a big shout out to him. I thought I'd do that before we get the interview started. Yeah, here we go. Nick Fryer. And now here with Nick Fryer, we're going to shoot the stuff about the Celtics. And, you know, I think we'll get some topics on baseball, too, that I think will catch the attention. But, yeah, we'll start with the positive news because there was a lot of up and downs this past weekend with the free agency and, you know, the draft and things like that. But, yeah, Jason Tatum signs a big contract deal. What do we think about this, guys? Nick.
Well, I mean, you're getting Tatum locked in for the long haul now, and this is a guy who – When he's reflected on his when he first came into the league, he wanted to go play for Phoenix, and then he comes to Boston. Now he's home. This is it. He's an All NBA guy now. Nothing but good. Like as much as you know, the whole Hayward stuff happened recently, where people are saying I think it was Woj actually pointing out how the Celtics have now lost two max contract guys. Well, you signed Brown for the long haul. You signed Tatum for the long haul, and they were getting nothing but praise like going into the postseason and everything. So I think you now have. You know, you have that future, and you've built it on the guys. They've turned into the players more or less that you wanted them to, and I think they've also kind of have room to grow.
Yeah, I look at the perception of – I saw someone tweeted out the other day of, like, how Kyrie, Al Horford, and Gordon Hayward, they're all gone. They're all max contract guys. But in another sense, like, Kyrie Irving, like, he didn't want to be here, and by the end, everyone kind of wanted to throw him out the door. Al Horford, we weren't going to pay him that much and see how it just wasn't a fit with the 76ers. And then you have Gordon Hayward here where, I mean, he turns down a $34-something million contract. I know he got $30 million from the Hornets, which I probably would have taken too if Michael Jordan called me at midnight to tell me to come to the team. But at the end of the day, I think it's, you know, something to come off for the Celtics and, you know, get some guys in free agency and start building up again for another title run.
Well, I mean, so the Hayward thing was, I mean, not the Hayward, before I jump to the Hayward, Horford clearly was the right move by the Celtics. Yep. I mean, as much as it kind of broke down and they didn't get him to stay, he got $100 million and he probably knew, I don't deserve that kind of money. It's proven that as much as Horford's still a solid player, it didn't work out in Philadelphia. It was a bad decision, and now he hasn't got moved, right? He's still stuck in OKC. Trevor Ariza's getting traded everywhere, but Al Horford's still stuck there. And I wouldn't mind seeing him stuck there, too, as they're trying to rebuild. It'd be kind of funny that's how it worked out for Al Horford in the end. But with like honestly, as much as Kyrie created all the craziness, I look at him and it's like, yeah, you wanted to go home to the team that you grew up loving as much as they're not in New Jersey anymore. That's still your team.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the most reasonable decision of them all. Whereas Hayward, yeah, okay, if you're doing it for the money, that's it, fine. But it's like if he was going home to Indy, okay. But now you went to play for the Charlotte Hornets with LaMelo Ball and Terry Rozier. I mean, I get that MJ's there, but Am I going crazy, guys? Are the Hornets still going to suck?
Oh, they're
going
to be terrible. Yeah, they're going to be awful.
I will applaud them, though. Like, that Nicholas Batum, it's Nicholas Batum, right? Yeah. That contract he had was, like, absolutely insane. I've never seen someone just highway robbery, like, any kind of professional franchise like that.
And they copped Jay Crowder, too, so that's another decent player.
No, he went to the Suns, right?
The Suns?
Yeah, he went to the Suns.
He went to the Suns. Okay. Yeah, he went to the Suns. Yeah, because I saw that he had he got a decent amount of money. I saw something that he chirped. Who was Devin Booker years ago, and now they're teammates. But yeah, the Batum thing's crazy. He just got paid $9 million to not play basketball for the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, that's a rough life.
God bless America.
Right?
Sitting on easy street.
Animal.
Yeah.
Oh, back on the Jay Crowder, you bring that up, though. I did see some beef on, I think it was like Terry Rozier's Instagram. Like Terry was calling out Jay for like being a bitch or something.
That's why I thought he signed there because there's some kind of gang affiliation. And I'm not a big Terry Rozier guy. Him and his posse tried to like come at me on Twitter and DM me and they started threatening me because I had good word that Terry Rozier on Game 7 was smoking weed with Quincy girls. the Game 7 against Milwaukee a few years ago. The night before, he was hanging out with Quincy girls smoking weed. So I tweeted about it, and his posse ran through my DMs and started threatening me. So me and Terry Rozier do not get along. So I thought Jay Crowder was going there.
Oh, so now you and Jay Crowder are boys then by default, right?
Absolutely. I'm totally on Jay Crowder's side.
Good man to have on your side. He's a strong guy.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He's a scary dude. And he was pretty good for the Heat this year. I don't know. The Suns are another one, too, that's weird. Like, I get you got to go. You got to make a push for it. But I don't know how you guys feel about them. It's like, yeah, you're the fifth seed now in the West? Like, the favorite to be the fifth? I know some people said the fourth, but I think that's a little much.
Yeah, I think that's definitely way too much. I think that team ceiling is kind of the same way Chris Paul did it with the Thunder this year. Like it was a great story, but it went down in seven games in the first round. You know, it was a good fight and all, but they're not going to be a team that gets in any sort of title contention or even. I think ESPN or someone I was watching the other day were trying to compare him to was it the Jazz who beat the. Clippers this year upset that they could be that type of team, and I don't agree with that at all.
Oh, no, come on. They think that they can. Yeah. No, there's no way. I mean, the Nuggets have Jokic and they have Murray and they pull off that. That's all. Like, yeah. That's. Yeah. There's no. Yeah, no, come on. I mean, I would love to see Chris Paul. I was never a big Chris Paul guy, but I have a lot of respect for him now after we did OKC. I would love to see him go somewhere and do it like Gary Payton did, help a team win as like a. You know, lesser role than what he's used to have. So I think he deserves to get a ring at this point, proven himself. But it's not going to happen. Yeah. I hope it doesn't happen with the Clippers, though, but it's not going to happen with Phoenix. I mean, yeah, the Lakers, excuse me.
Not to get too far off topic, but outside of like LeBron James and even Jimmy Butler obviously having a great postseason, Jamal Murray on the Nuggets was like spot on, probably in the top three there in the playoffs with, I mean, he's dropping 45 a night at one point.
That one with him and Mitchell just going back and forth was literally incredible. That entire series.
He didn't miss. Yeah,
it was this huge coming out party for Murray. I mean, now he's like kind of turned into a superstar where he was kind of like close to being a star. But yeah, same thing for Mitchell too. And I mean, and, you know, to bring it back to what you were saying before, Mitchell gets paid and then Tatum gets paid. And so, again, Tatum can make a little bit more, but I think it's money well spent. We all knew he was going to get the max even before he got all NBA.
Oh, yeah, he's a stud.
He deserves it. He deserves it 100%. He still has room to grow because, you know, you're getting that kind of money. You can't have these games where you start off. What was it? There's a couple games. Or there was one in particular where he started out with, like, a goose egg for the first half or something.
Yeah, it was ugly.
You can't like do stuff like 10. That.
Speaking of getting paid, I mean, I got to dive right into this. Gordon Hayward, 4-year deal. I mean, talking about signing trades with the Indiana Pacers and, you know, other teams were in the mix. But the Charlotte Hornets, 4-year, $120 million deal. I mean, he's probably the best. Yeah, he's the best talent they have. But what's kind of the sense? I mean, he's leaving Boston. Clearly doesn't want to be there. Boston's definitely the better situation in terms of coming closer to a title than going to the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, but I mean, when you look, if Gordon Hayward only cares about the money, or if that's what he's all, whatever he does is all about, maybe he can get out of that contract in a couple of years, something like can get traded, then he did the right thing. Because nobody, who is giving Gordon Hayward $30 million a year now? I'm not saying he's a bad basketball player. I'm not saying that he couldn't maybe be a player who's worth that money, but it's a huge, huge maybe. Because of the injuries and everything.
Yeah, a guy who's missed 111 games the past three seasons.
Yeah, I mean, 30.
I'm glad the team I root for did not pay Gordon Hayward.
I will say, real, very good basketball player. Like, it is no denying that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good player. But he's like, he's not worth that kind of money now because he's damaged goods, and he's like, you don't like. What are you looking for out of Gordon Hayward? And is that what he wants to do? Because he came in thinking he was going to be the number two. Now he's like the number three at best if Kemba's not healthy, and then you have other problems if Kemba's not healthy. So, I mean, the Celtics were right to stay away from him. The thing that was so strange in all of it was the Pacers stuff last minute, where you don't see them make that move for Miles Turner and McDermott, where you could have. And I think that just shows that, like, maybe that shows you how the Celtics feel about Miles Turner, because I think a lot of fans on Twitter want to see Miles Turner in a Celtics uniform. They thought it was a realistic possibility. Clearly it was. Mm-hmm. And now it's like in the Celtics had a chance to get him and an outside threat, and nope, all set.
Yeah, and I kind of think, too, if you look at the comparison, I mean, they didn't end up with Miles Turner, but they ended up with Tristan Thompson. I know he's going to be a guy who's going to bounce around the starting lineup and be one of the first guys off the bench. But in terms of comparison, like, you got a guy like Miles Turner who has pretty good talent but has never won a playoff game. Well, in other sense, you got a veteran and 29-year-old Tristan Thompson. I can't believe he's 29. He seems like he's been in the league for, like, 15 years. But, But yeah, he's been on title teams. He's been in the conversation for championship every time he was on a LeBron James basketball team. So, I mean, I feel like he's been there and done that, and I'll take the veteran experience over, you know, the guy who everyone's talking about and you really haven't seen at least winning performances.
Yeah, I mean, this is what, he's 10 years in the league now with Tristan Thompson. Yeah. And you know, they obviously had some pretty messy coaching situations in Cleveland. And the thing, anytime the Celtics add a guy, whether they're good at defensively or not so much before they come here, I always look at it and say, okay, this guy's automatically going to be a little bit better than he was defensively prior to coming here. Like even Cantor, right, where he is not good defensively at all. You guys don't need to tell you that. But I felt like there were moments. I mean, there was that one game at the Garden where he gave Joel Embiid the business a little bit. And he had his moments where he helped. And I think in the postseason there was a game where he stepped up against Embiid too in the playoff series. I know that Sixers were brutal then. But my point is, everybody always gets a little bit better when they play under Brad Stevens on the defensive end. So adding Tristan Thompson, a guy who is a really good rebounder and athletic, 6'9".
The walking double-double, yeah.
As much as he's not that, you know, he's not a couple inches taller, we'd like to line up at center. Him and Tice, I think, are like 1 inch apart in height. That's still a guy who I think, okay, he's played well on that end of the floor. Now you have him under Brad Stevens, I think it's going to make a huge difference. And having him as your starter and then Tice as your number two off the bench is a huge difference. Tice is so much more valuable as your second guy now.
Yeah, obviously, first thing you think of Tristan Thompson, now you think of the Kardashians, but I just never forget. I'll never forget that playoff game a couple of years ago when Marcus Morris just came down and slammed on him and just started screaming in his face. I think it was at the Garden, right on the parquet floor. But like it was like a violation, and it seemed like if I was Thompson, I would have just went and sat down for like at least like a 10-minute breather.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Do you think the Kardashians coming to Boston could be an issue?
I hope not. I'm not looking forward to that at all. I think Kim was celebrating it on Twitter, and I saw someone tweet out. It's just like, come on. Just don't bring Kanye, please, for the little guy. Don't bring him.
I love him as head coach, man, like I was saying earlier. I think Kanye instead of Brad Stevens really would shake up that locker room.
How about team ambassador?
Yeah. It'd be interesting if the fans were there, though, because Boston is so not their city, like, at all. Like, this place is not L.A. Like, we don't want the Kardashians in the front row. No. Like, you know what
Speak
I mean?
Speak for yourself, Steele.
Kanye's fun.
Bring him here.
Crossing Nines material for sure. Yeah.
I mean, if you like, they're coming up on the last season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I do not watch the show. Just somebody told me that recently. I swear to God. But
I'll take your word.
Now maybe you could kind of reel in the Celtics and all this too, like in Tristan Thompson. I don't know. Maybe we'll see them. I'll let you guys know if I see them any of their cameras behind the scenes. You know, by the locker room or anything.
I'm excited to get a Jason Tatum jersey. So because you know he's a 5-year locked in deal. But if Thompson like adds the Kardashian to his last name, it's a Thompson Kardashian jersey. That'd be kind of a long one.
That's a long one. That's a print on that. The Saltamaki on the back. That's even longer, I think. Yeah.
Is that a thing? Is that what the Kardashian, like people who marry into the Kardashian family do?
I think it should be, but if they wanted more
money, they should do that. Yeah.
Yeah, that last name's their brand. They don't give, you take that then.
Yeah. Chris Humphries should have definitely did that. Imagine if he was Chris Kardashian, he'd be making a lot more money
now.
Yeah,
that's a life changer.
I'm pretty
that
sure as soon as like that relationship ended, like his basketball career did too. Like I don't.
I do also. I have a fan question for you here, Nick, from one of our Celtics listeners, Ryan Lewis. He's asking the percentages that Danny gets a sign and trade done with Charlotte. I have no idea what that means, but
we have an idea. Yeah.
No, it doesn't look good. There was a point where I thought that might be a possibility, but when they got Batum off the books, that pretty much ended it there because they needed, what was it? They had $20 million in cap space, I believe it was. But one of the things that they needed to do was end up taking off Batum off the books because they bought him off for $9 million and then took care of everything for where Hayward's. I don't know exactly where Hayward's first year was, but I know that was one of the moves they could have done if they didn't want to do a sign and trade.
Got it.
Yeah, that contract was just absolutely insane. Like the fact that it wasn't waived before the Nicholas Batum one, I'm shocked he made he kept going with that. They were actually like keep playing him.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's been. How did Nicholas Batum go? I mean, I don't remember if he was a solid player. But so, like, there was this, like, stretch. There was a couple of years where there was this big boom in the contracts. Because I remember Evan Turner got paid by the Blazers,
mil.
I think
yeah.
it was. 16 yeah, and
mil.
It's like, look, he's a nice player and he's an even better dude. But I was like, why is Evan Turner getting this kind of money? And so, if he's getting that money, then Batum making $27 million at any point in his career isn't that far fetched as much as he fell off the planet.
I don't think I've ever seen Evan Turner come close to hitting a three-pointer.
Never in his life. But Toom used to torch me in 2K. I fucking hate that guy. would eat me up. Guy would eat me up. Like, the 2K version deserved the money. The real one, absolutely not.
I think Batum and Roy had Brandon Roy had some crossover, right? Like in Portland for a little bit. I'm not mistaken in that, am I?
I think you're right. I think you're right. I think that's
right. They did because I'm pretty sure because Brandon Roy was my guy.
Oh yeah, stud
in the day. Yeah, so I would use him, and that's why I'm pretty sure I used Batum too, and he was solid.
Are you gonna use those new Celtic banner jerseys when they're in the 2K?
Oh my god, what is that? Who came up with these? Who comes up with these ideas?
Yeah, those
things
were iffy.
It looks like a summer league jersey, like
it does,
a penny
it's
or
like
something.
Like a practice jersey, yeah.
Yeah, you know, my favorite one was I think someone said it looks like something you'd find at Marshall's.
Yeah. That's high value, though, at Marshall's. Though. That's great value.
I like them. I'm going to come out and say it. It's kind of just. Hey, well, think about the. It's the banner font. It's the banner font.
It's a Dallas Cowboys fan. I mean,
I like the fact that we won
those
championships
ones,
and we're proud of it. Sue me.
Celtic gray jerseys are like my least favorite jerseys ever. Hated those.
The what ones?
The gray ones. That they wore like the Jared Sullinger days, like oh
yeah, those
are awesome. Some of the all time worst.
Those
worst
things sucked.
The green ones that they wore this year, I mean, they grew on me a little bit, but I still wasn't a big fan of those.
Yeah,
that was a whole
got a little better.
Like, yeah, they got well. It you know, Cantor kind of like gave us a soft launch into that because his phone sucks.
Uh huh.
They looked like blue. I forgot about.
I like the alternate black ones. They're a nice mix up. I mean, it's pretty generic, but. It is what you get.
Well, those are nice. I like them. Those are good ones. Tristan Thompson likes those too, apparently. I think I saw that somewhere on social media, so there you go.
Nice. We'll have to buy that jersey sooner or later.
Yeah, there you go. It's coming in.
So, I mean, Tristan Thompson wasn't the only free agent signed the other day. So, Jeff Teague, I remember him just being problems for the Celtics when in his heydays with the Atlanta Hawks. You think that he has anything left in the tank? I mean, he's kind of been bouncing around.
Yeah, I mean, I think Teague's a little – I mean, look, you're bringing him in as your backup point guard, and depending on how the Celtics – like, Tremont Waters is another guy, too, who I know they extended him a little qualifying offer, and I know he's small and he's still only in his second year, even then it's kind of more like his rookie year. But that's a guy who they're high on, who teams were calling about last year. So that's a guy who I think you could try and ease into getting more minutes – you know, especially if Teague doesn't work out or if you're just, you know, trying to get a feel for what his role is. But still, I like Teague. I think he's a good ad. I wasn't a huge Wanamaker guy. I felt like he had his nights. And for me, like, you know, like you get Kemba, you get any of your stars your key contributors, your top six, whatever. Those are guys who you need to have a high ceiling. With your bench guys, you know, outside your top six, personally, I feel like you just need to have a high floor. I don't need a high ceiling. And with Teague, I feel like I'm going to get a high floor. You know what you're going to get more or less every single
yeah,
night.
Yeah, shooting off the bench. Important.
Yeah, he's been pretty big in some playoff games. He was never on a good team, but like his Hawks days, like Jeff Teague would score like 27 a game in the playoffs. Like he was like a very valuable member of that team. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, when I saw the sign, I was like, well, wait a second, Teague. Okay, now we're talking. But like, I mean, obviously after Hayward, what the hell is what's the point? But no, but seriously, I think he's a good ad. I think he's a solid ad. He's not like this big sexy get. I think Turner's your biggest one that you're going to see. And I think the Celtics, look, losing out on Hayward completely like that is brutal. When it seemed like for a second that they might be able to. So, there was a moment where it seemed like they might be able to work a deal to get Bogdanovich, but then the Hawks ruined that completely when they threw him, I think, 4 years, $72 million.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, he's good. I mean, he's good. But again, there's another guy where it's like, he's obviously way better than like Turner, Batum. But when I saw $72 million, I was like, wait a second. I mean, Bogdanovich is good, but holy hell, you're giving. And it's the Hawks. Again, what the hell are these? They have Danilo Gallinari, Rajon Rondo, and then Chris Dunn. And I was, what are you, this is the spot that you're going to put on Trae Young. And you know what? Now you guys are contenders in the East. Yep, absolutely, 100%.
It sounds like a team wins. That at the trade deadline this year, they're just going to trade everyone.
Yeah. Besides Trae Young. Is, yeah. If you say to somebody, it's more important to me to win a title than it is to make money, right? Would you go and sign with the Atlanta Hawks?
0%.
Not a chance.
Oh, that's what Danilo Gallinari did. And I can't get over that signing.
I just want to win, man.
He legitimately said that he cares more about rings or a title, whatever it was, I'm paraphrasing, than the money. And then he goes and signs with the Hawks.
Yeah. I mean, if they still had Heyday Josh Smith, I'd be like, all right, he's got a point. But he literally has none.
Yeah. I mean, Trae Young's a fun player to watch, but I don't know if he's going to be able to win a whole hell of a lot in this league. But it's just a weird one. But anyway, but back to the Celtics, you got two guys that are solid players. The Thompson one is a big one for me. I really think that if Stevens can, you know, do some tinkering with him, so you already have a solid player with Thompson, now you go and you get a little bit more on the defensive end, and now it's like, okay, now we can maybe contend with the Bucks a little more comfortably, the Heat, and, you know, assuming they can do what they did again last year, and then the Nets are the other problem too, of course.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Like, I mean, obviously the bubble was just like a whole different sense of like playoffs, but I haven't seen a playoffs in a long time where, you know, a team just got hot at the right time. I mean, the Heat, you never really see. I mean, what were they, like a 6 seed or something? And 5, 6 seed, they just really turn it up like that. And I mean, at one point in the Bucks series, you're like, wow, this is over before it even started. And, you know, the Celtics kind of gave them a couple good games where it could have gone either way, but at the end of the day, I mean, he took care of business and got to the finals where everyone knew the Lakers were going to win. I mean, kind of the whole Kobe farewell tour and everything like that, and then you have King James and Anthony Davis. But, yeah, you know, the Heat really showed out this year, and I think the Celtics have a chance to get back, but, they took care of business of them.
It's crazy how the bubble showed that home court advantage and how much of a difference it makes, because the Heat – I have a hard time imagining they're doing this under the regular format. And I guess not okay in my mind. Like, I get how it can be difficult being on the road for a few days or whatever, but you're still playing basketball. It's not like baseball where you have the home and away, who hits first, last, whatever. There's like a slight advantage to being the home team. Or when you're in hockey and then the line shifts, like the home team shifts last. Like, put the line out last. Like, how does it happen in basketball? So, but it's a thing. There's no two ways about it. But yeah, I mean, look, I still respect the Heat. I love Jimmy Butler. He's a bad man.
Yeah.
So that's why I throw them in that conversation. But it's really to me, it's the Nets and the Bucks that are the teams that the Celtics are going to have to go through.
Yeah.
And then, you know, look, the Raptors are there. The Sixers, they added some shooting. I think Daryl Morey, as much as I've given him a lot of crap for what he tried to do in Houston with that small ball nonsense, I think he's gone in and cleaned things up for the Sixers right away. And now you got Doc.
Danny Green was a big pickup.
Yeah, and Seth Curry. If people want to say, oh, you got the wrong Curry, like, look at his numbers.
Yeah,
like,
he's playing really well.
Yeah, he's figured it out, and he was good in Dallas. So I think there are 6 solid teams right now in the East. As much as I used to like the Pacers, I have a lot of questions about what they're doing right now. But there's 6 solid teams that could knock each other out in any round in the postseason.
Yeah, with the Sixers too. I mean, everyone's been throwing out the fact that it seems like it's a comparable to, like, oh, do you know Chris Hogan played lacrosse? It's like, oh, Seth Curry is Doc Rivers' brother-in-law or something. I think I've heard that about 55 times already.
Oh, my God. And then does Kyler Murray play baseball too? Did you guys know that?
Oh, you guys know what college Ryan Fitzpatrick went to?
Heard of it once.
Cornell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Oh, man. So, free agency, you know, it's been an up and down battle. But, I think the Celtics did what they could in the draft. I know they were trying to make trades all night and everyone was disappointed, but I think they got the right pick with Aaron Naismith there with Vandy, played for Vanderbilt. Really good three-point shooter. I saw 52% or something. That's just insane.
Yeah, Naismith's good. The problem with him is his foot. He missed most of last year because he had a foot injury and he had to get surgery done. But it seems like everything's good on his end. He's been saying it's been good for a while, I believe. But I was actually listening to an interview that he did with a coworker of mine, USA Today, and he was talking about his approach to his to three-point shooting and how he works at it and whatnot. And one of the guys that he studies a lot is Ray Allen. Now, of course, you know, everybody studies Hall of Famers and, you know, the best players and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
But the way he broke it down when he was talking about his footwork off the screen and watching what his hands do and everything like that, I'm like, this is exactly what the Celtics have needed. They need that guy who can come off the screen and pull up right away. That's it. He does not need the ball in his hands. He's hanging on the perimeter. Somebody's setting the screen for him, and he's running around, you know, creating stress for the defense.
Yeah, it sounds like the tail of the tape of last year's draft where they missed out by a pick on Tyler Hero on the Miami, and you know how much of a difference he made in the playoffs.
Tyler Hero and Romeo Langford. I mean, that's rough.
So,
the amount of it's Hero time during the playoffs was ready to throw my TV out the window.
Speaking of guys that didn't get any minutes, obviously the in the playoffs for the Celtics, the only rookie who really contributed at all was Grant Williams, and he was great on the defensive side. Do you think any of these guys with Naismith and Peyton Pritchard have a chance, to go in there and really contribute right away? I mean, we already talked pretty good about Aaron, but Peyton Pritchard, I think he's the Pac-10 player of the year. So, I mean, he's got a lot of spunk coming in here with a nice three-point shot. He's a point guard, too.
Yeah, I think Pritchard's a solid player. I wonder, he can create his own shot, too. I wonder how, if they have Teague on a one-year deal, do they look at Pritchard and Waters as the guys that are going to compete for the backup spot? If nothing else, I like that, where you have those two guys who can contend for that third point guard role, because it's proven to be, in this the new NBA and everything with positions, basketball and whatnot, having that third point guard is pretty important, especially with the Celtics with Kemba Walker, where his knee has been a problem. I still have serious questions about that. I think he has a chance, but I think it'll come down to between him and Draymond Waters and who's going to get that greater chance. And I tend to lean towards the point guard who was taken in the first round as much as he's the rookie.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are high on Draymond Waters. I mean, the Celtics had the chance to throw him into trade conversations last year if they wanted to, but people were asking about him.
Yeah, and then you have guys who are waiting for – I mean, they haven't done as well as they could have in their first opportunities, but a guy like Carson Edwards that's really at the backside of your bench. I mean, where is that kind of guy like that – and Romeo Langford stand in the way of guys like these trying to go for minutes as you get into the season?
Carson Edwards is a weird situation. So I think them getting Naismith shows you where Carson Edwards kind of stands, first of all. As much as, Naismith's a little bit taller, he plays more the wing as opposed to the guard. But with Edwards, he was – I remember watching him work out at practice last year, and it's just automatic, this form. He wasn't robotic in a sense, how he moved, but he was very fluid. But his shot was just the same thing every time, as if he was a machine. And then somewhere along the way, he just started to, every shot he started taking was off balance, and his release looked inconsistent. And then it seemed like this became a mental thing. I'm not saying Carson Edwards is done by any chance, trick of the imagination, but he needs, I would assume he's working on it this offseason, and he needs to figure his stuff out, because Naismith's going to take all the minutes that might have been his, and they needed a guy like Carson Edwards, and he still has a chance to help, but it's just he's obviously his value has dropped immensely. And then you look at Romeo Langford. I mean, look, he can play on the defensive end. I wonder if Hayward leaving is going to lead to him getting some more minutes.
Yeah, because that's kind of the big body he kind of has is, you know, in terms of his role. Yeah.
And he helps defensively. And but the biggest thing with him, guys, is his health. I mean, it's just everything.
Yeah, he's always hurt.
He's always getting hurt. Mm-hmm. Every time he's hurt. Even when I watch some of the G League games, every other time he plays, he gets hurt. So he needs to stay healthy before we can give a real assessment of him. But his shot, too, is... I mean, I know Grant Williams made huge strides with his shot this year, but you know, Langford's got a lot more work to do.
Yeah, definitely an uphill battle for Edwards, too. I mean, the talk of the town that everyone wants to know about is, Taco Fall reaching an agreement to return the Celtics. They brought in Thompson, they have Tice, and they have Robert Williams. I mean, does this guy have a chance at all at, you know, growing with the team? Obviously, the goal for him is to find a spot in the NBA, but how about with this team?
I think with the roster changes that have happened this year because of the shortened season and uncertainty with the G League, that's going to help with Taco Fall sticking around. And I think if the Celtics really wanted to get rid of him, they would have already. Whether it's trading him away for very little, like they did with Vincent Poirier, because they got a second round pick, I think, for him from the Thunder.
Yeah, that's what you call a wash machine call. We trade him for the wash machine. Yeah.
Exactly. So, like, you could, if they wanted to do that with Taco Fall, then they could. But clearly, there's a reason to keep him around. He absolutely improved over the course of the year. I just don't know if he's ever going to turn into, like, if fans are hoping he's going to turn into a 20-minute a game guy or something like that. Or I just don't know how realistic that might be. But maybe, like, 10, 12 minutes and provide an extra big, like a third or maybe even a fourth big off the bench to help you out, depending on which team you're facing. But I think the biggest thing is the roster changes for teams this year will make a huge difference with him sticking around.
Yeah, I really think outside of Grant Williams, because I think he's just a solid body. He's going to be a good defender in this league. But every second year guy coming in for the Celtics, I think it's going to be an uphill climb for them to get some minutes and really contribute to the team. Like I'm thinking all across down the board there. We talked about Langford, Edwards. Draymond Waters was in Maine most of the time. I know he got like the MVP or whatever, but yeah, all these guys are going to have a tough chance because they've been really shortening their bench since, they had everyone that year. They just had a tough year with Kyrie Irving. I remember having like 12 or 13 guys who can play and then it turned into this whole, sabotage.
Yeah, it is going to be hard for all of them to get minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, Grant Williams is the only one who you would think is going to come in and get them consistently. But then the question is, how do those guys all respond to that? I do think Langford will get more opportunities because he's the guy that was taken higher. He can bring it on the defensive end. I don't know how Edwards is going to respond to it all. I really don't, because he came in, there was so much excitement, and then it just went completely in the wrong direction. But Taco Fall, he's got a real good head on his shoulders, and I think he's just very thankful for every opportunity that he gets. So and the way Boston has embraced him too, I don't see a whole hell of a lot of reason for him to think I need to go elsewhere and rush that process so early in his NBA career.
Absolutely.
Are you expecting them to make like any last minute moves here now? Like bring some, have you heard anything like that?
No, I haven't heard anything. I don't see anything like that coming, but the one thing that was still there that we thought would have been that sign-in trade, but it seems like that's gone out the door because of Batum. So, no, I would think the Celtics are done now, especially now that they got Tatum locked up for the next year and then five more years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If James Harden ends up in Brooklyn, do you think the Brooklyn Nets win the East?
Okay, so if they get Harden, they are the best team on paper in the Eastern Conference. No questions asked. There's no debating that at all. You have three amazing offensive players, and I don't care if people are doubting Kevin Durant, and I get it. He may not move as well, but Kevin Durant's game translates if he still doesn't move quite as well. If Kevin Durant is still like 70% of what he is in terms of mobility, he's going to just turn into Dirk Nowitzki. And I'm sorry, is he not a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
So I think did he not beat LeBron James's Miami Heat? So, I mean, I know J.J. Barrett was like on another planet and all that stuff in that series, but they can – so, yeah, I still think that they're – I think that they're an amazing team, as much as I don't like James Harden. However, you cannot ignore with this team the personalities that you're going to be dealing with. You have Kevin Durant, who, the more I hear Kyrie Irving and him, you know, as it's together in Brooklyn, the
it's
more
a soap
like,
opera.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. But honestly, like, guys, I was never a big Kevin Durant guy, even when he first came in the league. He just never did anything. Like, I don't know why, I just didn't click.
Didn't give the thrill.
Yeah, and then he goes to the Golden State, and it's like, what, you know, I lose a lot of respect for him. Then I hear him versus Kyrie Irving, and it's like, oh, I actually have no problem with Kevin Durant because Kyrie is just so nuts. I mean, he does a lot of good stuff for people in that community now, but, I mean, Kyrie's just, his logic sometimes is just, it's just out, you guys know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
anyway,
insufferable.
You deal with Kyrie, and then you have James Harden. And I'm sorry, like, James Harden pounding the ball on the ground all the time, I was talking about somebody the other day, they think that Kyrie would still play point guard. How is James Harden going to respond to that?
Yeah.
Kyrie's like, in, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, just James Harden generates like 50% of his points from the free throw line. If he's not driving, then what? Is he just going to be like a shooter in the corner or something? Is he going to play cards in the third quarter getting ready for the fourth?
You would have to rename the team from the Nets to the Narcissists, the Brooklyn Narcissists.
Yeah. Yeah.
You really would. I'm sorry, you really would. But I also think they would probably be the sickest team in basketball to watch and also like record-wise.
Yeah, I think you see like three guys who – more than likely future Hall of Famers at this point, but the Kyrie Irving, James Harden scares me in terms of choke artists. I just think Kevin Durant's a dog, and that's why this team, if they do end up, even if they don't even get James Harden, they're still going to be a top team in the East and definitely a contender to win the finals.
Well, I mean, Kyrie still, I mean, he still has one of the most clutch shots in
I agree, but he was carried to that shot.
We actually agreed not to be ever speak his name again on this podcast, but I guess we dropped the ball
broke
on that one.
Broke that.
My apologies. But the other thing is, you guys know this, I don't know if you guys caught it, but throughout the rumors that have been thrown around, apparently James Harden came up with this idea of playing in Brooklyn while working out with Durant in L.A., and I know he was with Kyrie, too, but he was talking to Durant about it and how it would work, like, logistically, apparently. So, to me, like, again, like, so forget everything else
sabotage
that we talked about.
Artist.
Like, if you look at, like, on paper, again, they'd be the favorites to come out of the East, no questions asked. You have Kevin Durant, who just had his whole thing with the Warriors, and he's still defending that to this day, and his manager still defends that, too. Like, you know, people complain about it and blah, blah, blah. Rightfully so. It was a weak move after you got beat by them in the postseason. There's a few reasons why you say that. Now you go to Brooklyn to do it, like, the legit way with Kyrie. You have another star. It's cool, but you have a supporting cast. Then you're going to bring in the 2018 MVP, an MVP candidate in 2019, and I don't know if he was in 2020, but James Harden, who's considered by most a top five player in the league.
Yeah.
You're going to bring him to Brooklyn now. You're going to actively do that. I'm sorry, how much different is that than what he did with Golden State?
That's just too many, like, deluxe personalities in one room. I hate flipping, like, sports, but you see all the receivers Tom Brady had last year in September, and then you saw how many were left in, like, December. So it's like, how long can you have these many personalities in one room without someone's ego trying to get over to the next?
Yeah, but I'm saying it's a legacy killer. This is not like what he's doing by recruiting James Harden actively is, to me, not far off from him saying, you know what, I'm going to go play with the Golden State Warriors when they're considered the best team in the Western Conference when I'm joining them.
Yeah, but it's that's the way the league is now. So I don't, maybe he doesn't even get.
But for
shit
Durant to do
legacy
it twice is sickening. I agree with that.
It's kind of
cool. I
think
it's cool
that he's
rebelling. I don't know. LeBron's doing it.
Well, because his idol is LeBron. He wants to be LeBron.
Yeah. It's not the days of Jordan. I mean, it's LeBron's world now.
Yeah, but I mean, like, my thing is, guys, it's like you look at, as much as everybody's recruiting different players to go with them now, Kevin Durant, I mean, he said it himself, it's all duos now. That's what the league's becoming. Or you have the Warriors that had that ridiculous team. So if he's the one saying we're all duos, how are you going to justify recruiting James Harden actively? There's so many, like, he doesn't, like, what he says and then what he does are just two different things. And that's just, yeah, it's going to drive you up a wall.
Trios.
That's why he's got burners. That's why he's got Twitter burner.
So I love
he's a wild card.
Lillard. He's just like, no, forget that. Portland, right?
Yeah. That's why with Giannis, too. Like, he's like, I don't work out with other guys in the offseason. If he had left, I would have been so disappointed. Well, I mean, he could still leave. He hasn't signed a deal yet, right?
Yeah, but now he's still doing something, yeah.
Switching from basketball, I actually got a baseball question. So I did see on Twitter the other day, I think you quote tweeted or something, but the guy who got
got to vote for a ballot. He didn't vote for any Hall of Famers. Like, how sickening is that?
Goose egg. What a loser.
That guy, man. I don't know who it is. I'm sure, you know, he has a family that loves him and everything, and they should. I'm sure he's not a bad person. But what are you doing? Like, this is. Am I allowed to swear on here?
Oh yeah.
No?
Oh yeah.
What a fucking asshole. Seriously.
Yes.
How are you going to justify that? You're going to. I get it. If you don't submit a ballot, like I know somebody who did that when Mariano Rivera was in the Hall of Fame. He didn't believe closers should be Hall of Famers. Whatever, fine. I don't agree with that logic, but you respected him because you think he could still be unanimous Hall of Famer. You're not going to submit a vote. It doesn't affect him. Cool. But now you're just going to put in zero?
Yeah. I'm just surprised. Like, I don't think Kirk Schilling actually think he's going to make the Hall of Fame, but the fact that the guy didn't vote at all, I'm surprised he hasn't gotten his doorstep yet and tried to just knock him out.
Yeah.
So if you hate the steroid era and you believe no steroid guy should get in, fine. I can understand that. I used to kind of be that way. But I have since said, you know what? It's part of the game. It's part of the history of the game. And you got to look at the guys that were there and they were good and blah, blah, blah. But if you still think, no, steroid guys shouldn't go in, then how about the guys who put up good numbers, maybe not quite as good as those guys because those guys cheated, and give them the votes? Like, I don't know, Tim Hudson, who was never connected to
steroids. Todd Helton was on there. Like, come on.
That's the next guy I was going to say. Todd Helton. Omar Vizquel. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know Omar Vizquel's hitting numbers off the top of my head.
One of the best defensive infielders I've ever seen in my life.
I don't think Ozzie Smith was a great hitter, but he was this great Gold Glove winner, too. Yeah. How the hell is Omar not getting in with Ozzie? Like, I know it's different generations, but like that's my point. It's just – you know, no matter how you feel about the steroid era, there are people you could still vote in, you can still justify, and it's just so stupid, and I hate it. And I'm not big on like, oh, you have to share your votes. I'm not about that. But when you have people who abuse it like this,
yeah,
I don't hate that. I can understand why people come with that angle.
It's like if you buy a Ferrari and don't even drive it.
No.
Yeah. What's the point? You have this prestigious honor. I mean, I have people who ask me, some people forget that I cover basketball, not baseball as much anymore. Uh-huh. And they ask, you have a vote for the Hall of Fame. You've got to be 10 years. You'd be 10 years part of the BBWA to do that.
Oh, wow.
And it's this amazing honor. And you just go and just say, you know what? Screw it. I'm not even going to take advantage of it. I'm going to screw those guys over.
There's always some hilarious names on the ballot every year. Not that I'm saying like he had a pretty good career, but how does one pitcher just not get in for like a guy like Barry Zito? His 12-6 is Hall of Fame. Like that 12-6 alone should be in the Hall of Fame.
Nick Swisher's on that ballot, which is wicked funny.
he shouldn't be. That's not a fucking
no. No business being there. It's just hilarious.
The rest of the names, yes, but Nick Swisher.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no way. Yeah.
No,
I heard he was an asshole too. Yeah.
I'm not a big Swisher guy, but I guess my college coach was him and Swisher got along pretty well. Yeah. I seen them do it like Team USA, so I don't know. But he's like Swisher's an Ohio State guy, and I didn't like Ohio State. But with Zito, you're talking to the wrong guy. I'm not a Zito person at all. I mean, he got that Cy Young the year Pedro, one of the years Pedro should have gotten it, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, you're maybe going to be dead to me at that point.
Yeah, I'm just thinking
about holding a grudge.
Yeah,
I'm just the catch 22 because I mean the guy couldn't break like glass with the fastball, but the 12-6, like you weren't touching that, or you were gonna go for like a 500-foot bomb.
Yeah, I mean, he had an absolute hammer, but I mean, Pedro also had a ridiculous hook. He had one of the best changeups ever, and he was like 5'9" and threw. Pedro's one of I have argued for a while. Pedro is the best pitcher ever. Period. And the only two people that are in the same conversation as him are Randy Johnson and Greg Maddux. Because they pitched in the steroid era, they were never linked to the steroid era, and they all shoved. The only thing that Pedro has going against him against those two guys is he didn't have the same longevity.
Yeah.
Like those three guys, three best pitchers ever, period.
And they had so many dynamics to each. I mean, Greg Maddux, he could just put a ball wherever you wanted to around the dish. A guy like Randy Johnson, he just comes in intimidating as hell. I mean, the guy's what is 6'8" or something?
10,
and then he's coming
6'11".
Yeah, sideways, like come sidearm. I mean, high 90s, and then he comes around with that slider, like
just
no chance.
Screaming at himself, like walking off. Like killing that guy
birds.
Was awesome. Not rockets. I love that.
Yeah, I wish I was older when those guys played because I didn't appreciate him as much as I should have. Those three were so. Greg Maddux is such a joke too when you think about it. Like that's why Hendricks. I have an appreciation for him now because he's similar in his style because he doesn't throw hard.
Yeah, a lot of
jump. You just don't see guys like that. And I wonder too, Maddox, and what would his numbers look like now in today's game where everybody's trying to hit a home run and it's either you strike out or you hit a home run. And this is a guy who I think he has like a ridiculous amount of like 3-2 counts in his career. Like I feel like it's under 100 or something stupid.
It is
ridiculous.
Can't even imagine. Yeah, I forget what it is too, but it's nuts. It's like 3-1 like 100 times or something. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. I've been on Randy Johnson for the last 2 minutes, but that mustache is like a top 5 mustache of all time also.
Yeah, Randy Johnson's also not teach their own, but Randy Johnson's also not easy on the eyes.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Throwing that out there. He's a scary like looking
scary.
Unit.
He got a nickname like the Big Unit. I'm sure he's getting.
I guess he's doing something right.
Yeah. Well, Nick, appreciate you for coming on the show as always. Hoping a big year from the Celtics and hopefully more of these Hall of Fame voters get it right.
Do you think we'll be back watching games next year? Last question.
I think you mean for basketball?
Yeah, in person, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, in person. Oh, I don't know, guys. I mean, it's not. I mean, definitely obviously after the start of the season, but I don't know. It's not. It is not looking good. I've seen like the. Well, obviously, everyone knows what's going on in the state now, and things are starting to kind of shut down again. And I know New York was another place where they're kind of dealing with some stuff again, and they've been talking. I know it was the Nets owner. Wanted to have people in the stands. He's like, no, it's not happening. So I don't know. I feel like I'm a little out of my depth giving you an honest, like an educated answer.
It's really in the air. Yeah.
I didn't know if you
knew something. Maybe yeah. Actually, you're not the scientist.
The problem is,
you have the vaccine.
Guys, I don't think the governor knows half the time. So like with this stuff. So I mean, if he doesn't know, and he's the one that kind of controls everything.
Oh yeah, like it comes out at 9:30, so we all gotta go home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we can all get a beer at the Garden soon.
Yes. Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Nick.
Yep.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it. Be good.
So that was Celtics insider Nick Fryer there. You know, I think there was a lot of good insight on what to expect of the Celtics this season with a lot of, I guess, would you say major changes, right? As Gordon Hayward's departure.
I think we all wanted him. Did anyone want him still here? Anybody?
Don't care at all. See ya.
He hasn't proven himself.
The last Fryer interview, you asked about Brad Stevens' wife when I think the real question was you should ask about Gordon Hayward's wife.
Are there problems there? Yeah, it's something with the late. I don't know. But I don't.
What
we'll
do you
see if
do?
They're good.
Yeah.
He didn't really give any hope that they're going to be like awesome this year. I didn't get that vibe from him.
Yeah, it's kind of like a stalemate because like they had the. Well, I guess a different roster now that they made Thompson and stuff, but they had a similar roster and they beat the Sixers in 4 games and they ended up being Toronto, who won the championship before. I know they were without Kawhi Leonard, but a lot of improvement you saw without Gordon Hayward's contribution to the team.
That's true.
We'll switch gears here as NFL Week 11 is in full swing right now. 4 o'clock games starting to wrap up. Obviously, being around the Foxborough, New England area, it's a tough day to be a New England Patriots fan. Patriots dropped to 4-6 after losing to the 2-7 Texans.
Three wins now.
Now 3-7
now.
3-7 now. I guess I got a correction booth across from me. 27-20 final. So what do we think of this loss here?
It was a tough one. Really needed the win. I don't really see, the path or whatever, how we can get there now. It's going to be an absolute uphill battle.
Yeah,
it's going to be difficult whether they won.
I think, one thing that helps is, like it's a very small chance that, they're able to do it. And they'll probably have to win out or come close to winning out, which is going to be difficult. Not going to say I'm do it. But there is a good amount of teams that are, in front of them that are, losers.
Yeah,
and could just fucking blow it.
Yeah,
you got the Dolphins, the Browns, the Ravens are in shambles right now. Things could fall. They all gonna fall the right way, but it's doubtful.
The thing that I really faced most about this loss today was, the cold harsh reality of they weren't the better team today. I don't think I think Deshaun Watson came in there and he threw absolute dimes and absolutely mashed up that Patriots secondary. Yeah. And you know what you're going to get from Patriots offense this year. I mean, Cam Newton has been doing what he can, but it's been showing up as if they're not a team that can come really from behind. They're a team that, you know, sits in, whether it's they're down 3 points or they're up a score or something like that, and runs the ball and, you know, owns the time of possession. But when you have an uphill climb down early with this year's New England Patriots team, you know, it's really hard to come from behind.
Coach Subway did not have the weather machine over in Texas, huh? Doesn't work in Texas, huh? I declare. Deshaun Watson went in and made Patriots defenses a biatch. My 6-10 prediction is looking pretty good for the Patriots. And that's why, like, I was kind of jumping up and down my couch when they beat the Jets, because that's a game you shouldn't have won. That game was lost, but and the Ravens too. They beat the freaking Ravens last week. What are they doing?
They did.
What are they
Ravens
doing?
Ravens are crumbling.
Take it from a Cowboys fan. There is no worse place to be in the NFL than the middle. Yeah. It's purgatory.
So, in the hunt. Been there a while, correct?
So they need to stop winning games. Maybe keep Cam in there. That'll help.
They're gonna. Shots fired. I think they'll get like a 13th pick. Like, and that's like, what are you gonna get? Like a corner.
Yeah,
a BYU quarterback.
Yeah,
big shot. Happen. I think could have 70 points.
Yet. Zach Wilson. Yeah,
stud.
Even though he looks like he's 13, but you know, just so does Justin Herbert, and he's balling. So
yeah, no, it's possible.
Tom didn't look great when he came.
He did not.
That trap picture
makes you laugh always.
So yeah, I talked about the game a little bit of what didn't go well, but you know, you look at this future road, that's a game you have to win considering their schedule coming up with. I know they have the Cardinals, they have Miami and Buffalo again. You know, the Chargers always put up a good game as against some teams.
Teams you got to beat, teams that we need to lose to do it. It's all there.
Probably beat the Jets after everyone was raving after that 1-point victory or whatever it was, one that they won by a field goal. I think this is the season's gonna end up being a disaster.
That sounds fucking demoralizing.
I'm pretty depressed.
Do we have a stud though in Bird? Bird looks great.
Yeah, he's a dime a dozen though. I
don't know, dude.
But besides this running game, I hate the Patriots offense. I can't stand it.
What did you think? He's coming in.
Cam's fit
Bill.
Today. You look like
it's sensational. It's sensational.
Not today. Yeah. He's
walking
looked great.
Like a lumberjack like
yeah,
that?
He's looked
oh,
great
oh,
all
come
year.
On,
he looked
that's
terrible.
That's
yodeler,
great.
He looked great. Yeah.
Yodeler.
How is that a yodeler?
Because he had the suspenders in the pit.
Because he literally, okay. He literally dressed like a yodeler. Like, that's why it is. Like, I don't know. He looked like an idiot.
Oh, yeah. But
and he usually looks amazing.
Yeah.
Very team.
He looked like
fit.
A guy who's going to lose to the Texans today. Maybe. I don't know. I love his fits, but get the guy the fuck out of here.
Yeah, great hats.
I know, and you kind of scroll down here, you see the list of the teams, you know, that have a chance to win. Steelers took care of business today against the Jags, undefeated 10-0. The Titans, after my boy Malcolm Butler went and stomped on the Ravens logo, and Harbaugh came out, the coach of the Ravens, and, you know, gave him some grief. The Titans, with behind the big energy of Derrick Henry, big OT win. That was a big win for the Titans. And, you know, the Ravens are trending down after dropping a rain-wash game to us last week and then the Titans this week. And they're out. I mean, they're in the playoff hunt, but they're not. I think if the season ended today, they wouldn't be in.
They need to remove the entire Washington football team from that because Joe Burrow went down with that horrific leg injury today.
Yeah. R.I.P.
This is right after the whole Alex Smith thing. And then I think, was it their backup Kyle Allen? Also fucked up his leg last week.
Yeah,
what is up with that?
Yeah,
Joe Theismann too. It's a weird thing with quarterbacks getting seriously injured. It's tough to see from Broadway Joe.
No, yeah, it's a scary place over there, Washington. If you're a quarterback, those legs just go down.
Yeah, the Dolphins losing today to the Broncos makes absolute no sense too. I mean, I guess everyone was just hyping them up, but forget about the bets that people have made today at this table. But, you know, the Dolphins...
Sounds like someone and buddy on the Dolphins.
The Dolphins trending down is against the Broncos makes absolute zero sense. I do not understand that they've beaten, like, every... They just own the NFC West, I guess. I guess if they're playing a team in, like, the Cardinals or the... Who else they beat bad? The Niners? Then put the house. But if they're playing the Broncos, I guess, you know, sit home for the day. Don't watch TV.
You know who else needs to sit home probably for the rest of the season?
Anton.
LaFraud Jackson, Vince Young Jr. I should have. I ended Christian McCaffrey a couple weeks ago. I called his demise, which, again, he's out this week. Let's see if he returns. I think he's done. New fire hot take, Lamar Jackson, he's done. The league has him figured out. He's Vince Young Jr. Cam Newton in 2015, anybody? It's sad. I mean, you guys seen him personally put up 50 points against BC. What do you guys think? You think he's...
Can you please just stop mentioning BC on this podcast?
Promise I won't do it again. The Ravens are done? Yes, no?
No, they'll be back. I mean, that team's hungry. They have a great secondary. They get great up front on the defense with Calais Campbell. But yeah, I do agree. I don't think they can win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson, but I think they can get back in the playoffs and, you know, make it happen. I think there's really only two teams out of all these teams that are like battling and at the 6-3, 7-3 now. I mean, you even see the Browns at 7-3, and that's laughable.
Yeah,
I think the only teams that can contend in the AFC are Pittsburgh and Kansas City. It's going to come down to that. If Pittsburgh gets the home field advantage, which you never know. I mean, Chiefs only have one loss. That's just my prediction of Chiefs going to Heinz Field and winning, going to the Super Bowl. I just don't know how there's a narrative unless Derrick Henry somehow gets hungry again and just conquers.
That's always, yeah, that's there. Like, that's literally what happened last year. Like, yeah. Derrick Henry just said, fuck it. I'm going to run through these guys.
Since we are recording on a Sunday, we do have two games that we're going to share our picks. So I'll start. So it's the Chiefs on the road against the Raiders. Raiders are the only team that has beaten the Chiefs this season. Chiefs are 8-1. The spread's -7. I'm going to start with my pick, and this is, I guess you'll be hearing this tomorrow, so we'll either be looking smart or really dumb. So I'm going to take the Chiefs here. I think Pat Mahomes is hungry for something. I think John Gruden's days are, you know, his best days could be ahead of him. You never know. But I don't think they get it done tonight. I'm taking Chiefs 7.
I like the Raiders to cover. I don't think the Raiders will win, but I think they'll cover the point spread. I think, they already took him down once. Two high-flying offenses, so it's going to be just a shootout. And I think they'll be able to come within 7.
I think someone eats Josh Jacobs' knee tonight.
Yikes.
If I call that, oh.
Yeah. Look out.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, you know the rest. John Gruden, Coach of the Year candidate, gets it done twice against Kansas City, pulls off the upset. Give me the Raiders.
Nice.
Let's
go.
I'll
follow that up, yeah. I'm missing Vegas. I'm on Vegas.
God bless him.
To win?
To win, yeah.
That's like
Jimmy a ride in the fucking
ride in the money line, baby.
Coach of the Year, baby. Give me.
There was who was it? Jim Rome today before the game. I watched like the
why you watch? He's still alive.
They did.
Yeah, yuck.
They were like had the CBS broadcast with like Coach Cowher and all that. It's a good one. But they're like, oh, Hall of Famer Jim Rome, and he is a Hall of Famer, which is like absolutely nuts. But he said, oh yeah, just give Brian Flores right the coach of the Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Coach of the Year trophy now. He's like, don't even debate it. Give it up. So, you know what? As much as I pick Kansas City -7, I'm going to stick with it. But I would love to see John Gruden just take that smile or that smirk right off Jim Rohn's fucking face.
Thank you. Will.
I like it. Yeah. Fuck yep. Jim Rohn.
Yep. So, yeah, I actually like that where that conversation went. We went our picks and then we kind of told Jim Rohn to kick rocks.
Yeah. As you all should.
Yeah. Monday night game, which I guess. If you listen to this podcast on Tuesday, we'll either look smart or dumb again. But we got the Rams on the road against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks. We got Tampa, I'll give it a -4 spread. You know, Tampa at home this year has been a hit or miss. I just think under the bright lights, Tom Brady will conquer Jared Goff like he did in the Super Bowl again. I know this is way more downplay of a game than that. But, yeah, I'm expecting this Buccaneers team, who everyone thinks they're pass heavy, when they honestly Ronald Jones is an absolute animal, which they are going to base their game off run and play actions. That's what Tom Brady does. That's how they're going to win. And I'm expecting this could be the Antonio Brown coming out party.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah, Bucks by a billion. I think the Bucks absolutely win. Tom, bright lights. Let's go. Monday night, the Rams, McVay is a fraud. Let's get it.
Just like the Brooklyn Nets need to change their name to the Brooklyn Narcissists, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers need to change their names to the Tampa Bay Boneheads. Bunch of boneheads in that locker room. Freaking bunch of babies getting what they want. I don't like the Buccaneers. I don't like Tom Brady. Give me the Rams. Los Angeles, baby. Jared Goff, when he plays, with not much pressure, delivers. I think the Rams get it done.
Give me the Bucks because I need them in the Super Bowl. That's what I want. So give me the Bucks.
Love it. Straight to the point.
I think every game's a must win for them. They got to look good and they got to get to that fucking Super Bowl no matter what, because I'm going to be there in Tampa with whoever else is coming, and I want Tom there.
Speaking of Super Bowl, Cowboys just went up 3 against the Vikings with a minute and some change left.
That's sad.
Who would love a Cowboys Steelers Super Bowl? Maybe 7-9 versus 16-0. Oh man, they make movies about this, man. The Red Rocket. Oh, give me that.
This is a tough day to bet on sports. But
very
did the Redskins move to first place of your division?
They're creeping.
They
up.
They won today. Yeah. I think they took first. I think that's where
Philly,
the NFC East
Philly
is at.
Lost.
Yep.
The Giants are legit, though.
Like, I literally think
all,
the Redskins.
They're all still
like,
playing.
Danny yeah. Dimes, he gets a bad rep. Danny Dimes is legit. Don't sleep with Danny Dimes.
I might give you the bonehead of the week this week.
That division just talks each other's bums up like they're fucking good, but no one's good.
No, they're literally all awful. But one of them has to make the playoffs. That's just where it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Transitioning on, I mean, I've never seen Mike Tyson fight in my life. And I get the opportunity to do that next Saturday night against Roy Jones Jr.
Huge.
And I couldn't be more ecstatic for a fight. Since like the McGregor-Khabib fight. I don't think I've ever been more
pumped. Superb reason to get fucked up.
superb reason.
It's going to be a hell of a Saturday, boys.
I just can't wait to let
we're
loose.
We're watching that one. That's 2 days after my birthday, mind you.
Oh, beautiful. Oh,
We'll give you a happy early birthday.
Yeah,
then,
we'll give it to it. Wait till Thanksgiving. It's on Thanksgiving this year.
Oh, really?
The world's giving it to me.
Nice.
You're announcing that in a while. I didn't even know that. Good
happy
for you.
Birthday.
Great
thank
stuff.
You, thank you. But yeah, this fight's going to be fucking good. Wherever we watch it.
Oh, it's going to be great. Fucking Roy Jones Jr. is a beast.
No,
he's like
the,
one of the great boxers of all time.
People were trying to like compare to the Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell fight, like the old fight like from like a year or two ago with Oscar De La Hoya, like promotions that looked like just like two people fighting at like a nursing home. I think this is going to be way more ferocious and, you know, they definitely both have no chins left, so I'm expecting someone to go down early.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh,
I want to see that Mike Tyson blood.
Yeah.
Or,
no,
like in terms of like him bleeding out in victory.
Absolutely cannot wait for the walkout. It's going to be incredible.
Do you think it's going to rival like Tyson Fury in the Wilder walkout? I hope. I mean, because that looked
something like that. Yeah,
that was like all time. Jackass
that
walk.
Was
yeah.
all time.
Wilder looked like Sauron from Lord of the Rings. That was intense.
Yeah,
and he lost. Got buckled.
It's gonna be. It'll be an interesting fight. I don't know what's gonna happen with these two.
No
it's
idea.
Definitely for
literally
money.
No
so
clue.
Who knows if they're gonna like, really hurt each other?
No.
Old.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck could happen. The premier fight's gonna be that Jake Paul Nate Robinson.
Yeah, that
they don't like each
that
other.
That co-main event that I'm thinking not a lot of people know about.
It's a ridiculous co-main event.
We talked about the Celtics the majority of this podcast. Nate Robinson coming on to fight Jake Paul, right?
Jake Paul, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something I want to see because I was telling Steele on the way here. Yeah, he looks small on a basketball court with all these players, but if you ever seen Allen Iverson play football in high school, he looks like the tallest guy on the field. So that's the way I kind of characterize that. I know Nate Robinson's this former dunker who was – he's got to be like 5'9 or 5'10, right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think
he's going to look, normal size, which is going to be frightening, I bet, for Jake Paul. I think long night for Jake Paul.
He's smaller than Jake.
Good.
He is still small.
Good.
I think the Jake Paul dude's tall.
I think he's plus 150. I think that's what it is.
I hope Jake Paul gets his freaking face caved in by Nate Robinson.
Destroyed.
Also for Jake Paul, man, like fighting a guy as likable as Nate Robinson is a lose-lose situation. You know? Like,
yeah.
Come
what are you
going
to do? Beat Nate Robinson up, you fucking asshole?
Yeah.
He's known as an asshole, so he's loving every minute of this.
Of course he is. That clout chaser.
For them, it's money, too. But Nate's an athlete, and that's the reason he should win this. Like, Jake Paul's only fought YouTube assholes.
Yeah. I don't know the round situation.
Yeah, no idea.
I don't know. Like, I have no idea like, how long
it is.
It is
a professional fight, though, which is
so it like, might be
it
10.
Is real.
They might get 10 whole ones.
It's fucking real.
Fuck it,
and
we'll
it's
see.
A co-main event for yeah. So it's I don't even think anyone was taking this Tyson Roy Jones thing serious, but I think it is semi-serious.
Like, I have zero like gambling purpose edge, like going into either of these fights. Maybe the Nate Robinson one, but I just want to see Mike Tyson go, man. This is going to be once in a, for at least our lifetimes, because he, I can't remember a time he fought in my life where I was like coherent for it. Like not drunk, but like actually just like, wow, I'm on this.
Not like 4 years old. Yeah.
He should be good to go. He's been training hard.
Of him with his pigeons today. He was in the backyard with the pigeons. He was chilling. He looks ready.
Yeah, he's a Zen master now. I expect a different mic, but I hope something, he gets hit in the head and bites Roy Jones's ear off. Maybe bite his nose off.
Anything's possible.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome if that happens.
Great content.
great content if he bites his nose off.
I think Scooby agreed with me there.
Scooby wants to stop recording.
Yeah. I'll close on that, though. Anyone want to bring up anything fun?
I'll bring up something pretty fun right now. The Dallas Cowboys has confirmed the victory against the Minnesota Vikings. Woo!
And nice ending to that.
Well, I mean, yeah, hell yeah, man. Great to be alive.
Decent.
Yeah. Maybe a quick plug. We're doing the Mass Music Morning Show every single morning, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. on the Mass Music Radio website and, of course, the free app. You gentlemen have open forum if you guys ever want to join, if you're ever available on. You guys are hardworking men. But absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
that'd be great.
It's yeah.
If
it's
ever get a day off.
10 in the morning, absolutely. Every morning, right?
10 a.m., yep.
10 a.m. Mm-hmm. We've been waiting for you.
I'll be here. Yeah. I'll be here one of these mornings when I have work off. It'll be coming.
Love it.
I'm excited to do it.
Folks, really want to thank you for tuning in. Nick Fryer, always a great guest on the pod. Yeah, we have shirts. I keep writing it on here, but we do have Steel and Naz shirts for sale. So get on that. Happy Thanksgiving, you know, because we're not going to see you guys till after the holiday. You know what? I'll bring up the topic. What's the favorite dish for Thanksgiving? Anyone want to let it rip?
We should also accept that mac and cheese is a Thanksgiving dish.
Yeah, I agree.
I love mac and cheese. Give me mac and cheese for Thanksgiving. I'm actually high on the other sides for Thanksgiving, but mac and cheese is mine.
Green bean casserole for me.
Really?
You mix that in. Oh, I'm...
mashed potatoes and gravy.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Just keep it coming. You know?
Homemade stuffing at my house, and it's beautiful. It's an amazing thing.
And anyone that says like turkey's like overrated, like, yeah, we get it. Just eat the turkey on Thanksgiving, and
yeah.
I don't want to hear you bitch anymore.
Yeah, okay? Put gravy on it. It's not that fucking dry. Yeah. Get over yourself.
Maybe lube up and dive into it.
Like, is anything bad with gravy? Like, I don't know.
No, it's literally not.
I was thinking.
I prefer it with sex.
Yeah. Mix that in. Some nice lubricant.
Let's wrap.
That's all from Steel and Naz, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. Be safe out there. Once again, happy Thanksgiving.
Go Quincy, FUNQ. Yep.